such an enormous privilege to share with people things about the grace of God. And talking with Chris over some weeks, we wanted to bring this message called The Pursuit of Intimacy with God. What is it like to pursue intimacy with God? What does that look like in our lives? What does that take? And what does that bring into and our families? See, from that moment on, when I really encountered God, I had this insatiable thirst to know him better, to know him more. And that drove me to read the Bible. I consumed it. I read it so much. I was able to understand it. Miracle of miracles, a wrong the boy who could understand that. And it just all made sense. And I retained it, and I understood it. I learned chapters of it by heart that I could recite and still can. And I really loved the scriptures. I spent hours in there every day and praying, worshipping, wrote loads of songs about the love and the grace of God, some that we have used widely, some that I've just used for myself. But it made a big impact in my family, as you can imagine. And again, a long story short, but my brother, who's 2 years older, came to Christ, and he's been preaching for 40 years and helping churches. My sister, my mom. I led my gran to faith when she was 75. That was a joy. That was great. So, you know, that was lovely. I said, "Nan, do you want to know Jesus for yourself?" She said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Well, come on." Took her by the hand, led her to Jesus. She got baptized when she was 80, which was awesome. And buried her when she was 98. Oh, she had died, mind. just to be clear, sorry. Buried her when she was 98. Said, "Good night, Nan. See you in heaven." And, you know, God has been so gracious. My sister-in-law, brother-in-law, nieces. I mean, why would God pour such grace on a sinner? I don't know. It's amazing. And so, you know, we had a life of just knowing the grace of God resting upon us. And then at 21, I knew that God was calling me to study and to get serious about ministry. So I went to London Bible College, and I studied through London and through Cambridge University. And I knew I wasn't called to go into the pastorate, to be a pastor. I mean, I could preach like a lion and sing and dance and juggle, but I knew I wasn't called to go and be a pastor. But I was called to go and plant churches. And so I went into industry, and working in industry and management, I was using all my spare time to plant churches. And God has been ever so gracious. So across Wales over these years, been involved in many church plants and helping establish new churches, helping repurpose some churches that had ground into a halt or run into trouble or were in difficulty. And God has been very, very gracious in all of that. But I love to study the scriptures. It's just such a rich thing for me. But what I wanted to talk about was the blessing of having a close personal walk with God. A friendship and relationship with God that is outside of church life and is something that becomes more real often than the people that we are with on a daily basis. And for me, that has been my story of knowing the nearness and the voice and the heartbeat and the presence of God in such ways and to such depths that it has totally changed the person I was back then. And it is so humbling to know that God would draw near and speak to broken people. And that's been my constant amazement, and it still is, how that he would come near and spend time with people like us. Outstanding. Amazing. But it takes faith way beyond the book and the church services and the songs into a much deeper place of face-to-face encounter. And for me, that word encounter has become something that I've lived with and experienced and pursued and sought after all my life. And back in the Psalms, you know, it says in Psalm 27, It says this: this one thing I long for. This is what I seek after. To seek God in his temple. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And to be in his temple. To sit at his feet. To be at the throne. And to gaze upon God and to spend my time in his presence. And that was a call that I heard deep in the spirit as a young man. And it so shaped me. And I've spent hours and hours, sometimes with friends, many times on my own, just seeking the presence of God. And spending those long hours just worshipping and waiting for him. And listening for his voice, for his heartbeat. And he never disappoints. And it's amazing. And when he draws near, just a moment of God speaking, oh, it is worth so much. And it just brings us to a place of even greater amazement at his grace, his mercy, and his love towards us. And all of that brings us into what I would call a revelation of the beauty of God. That he reveals himself to those who seek after him. That there is a place for those who give up this, that, to, in order to seek God. There is a beauty and a joy and a treasure in finding him. And when he speaks, and when we encounter him in that secret place, ah, it is just, it is better than life itself. It is remarkable. It is amazing. And I'm always amazed at how quickly he responds to our weak and imperfect attempts at seeking him. I mean, he's amazing, really. He draws near. You know, there's a scripture that says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And it is so true. And it's so disproportionate, you know. The little effort we make to seek after him, gosh, the grace with which he quickly comes to us is phenomenal. And so over those years, I've learned to develop the disciplines of intimacy, which are prayer and worship and fasting and meditation. And those spiritual skills, if you will, are things that we all as human beings find difficult. Well, I mean, I do. I don't know if you do, but I certainly do. I mean, I get impatient in front of a microwave. You know, I mean, seriously. You know, I mean, why does it take 2 minutes to cook porridge? I mean, that's just ridiculous. And so, you know, I'm geared to, you know, it's got to be now and then. But to kind of dial out of that mindset and learn to be still and to be still enough, long enough to wait for God. And the Psalms are full of this. And I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined and he listened and he heard my voice. And see, this is something that we don't often preach around the churches, is the need for spiritual discipline of fasting and prayer and worship and meditation in the Word of God. But honestly, this pathway would bring us into a rich vein of relationship with the Father, to know his heart more, to hear the voice of the Spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit will come alongside you and he'll walk with you through your life. And he will take my things and he will reveal them to you. Well, that's been my experience. I would love to encourage you, especially those of you that are younger, you know, set your heart in your youth to seek after God, because the treasure that will come out of your life in years to come will be phenomenal. Rich. It'll bless hundreds, if not thousands, of people. You will achieve so much if you seek God in your youth. God loves young people. You know, I love young people. Couldn't eat a whole one, but I love them. You know, and they are the church of today and the leaders of tomorrow. And, you know, they are such a precious resource. And so I love spending time with young people. I get a lot of energy from them. I love what they do and the way they do it. And I think back to when I was that teenager in the chapel. Man, we freaked some of the old people out, I have to say. You know, with our long hair and ripped clothes and loud music. And, You know, it was a typical Welsh chapel, so we moved the communion table and the aspidistra plant, and we put amps and drums in there, which shocked them to the core. And we took songs of the day, and we gave them Christian words, and we rocked out the blues, and we filled it with young people. They kind of really didn't like the fact that young people lit up in the middle of the worship concert. You know. But we saw 60 young people come to Jesus. I mean, come on. It's bricks and mortar. And it's all about bringing people to the love of God, isn't it? And so these disciplines, they lead us to a place where we can encounter Him in a rich way, in a powerful way, and in what I would call a life-changing way. It's something that gets ingrained in our heart. And if you continually apply your heart, and if we do that, even in the difficult days, you know, I don't want to paint a picture that it's, oh, this is wonderful, all through life you just sail through. You know, even in the difficult days, even in the days when you don't understand the way He's working, even when you can't understand why certain things are taking place, in and through that, to seek the face of the God who is love, brings us into revelation of Him. I was telling Chris this. I was in Gibraltar doing a little bit of ministry amongst the churches in Espanol, as well as in English. And I was about an hour north of Malaga in a Christian retreat center, helping the churches from Gibraltar, training leaders and helping them to establish the church in the country that is Gibraltar. And I was sat after two or three of the sessions. They have a break in the afternoon because it's so hot, you know, which is a little siesta. I thought, oh, that's fun. I'll try that. And I was sat on a balcony looking at this rock. Any of you ever seen the rock? Been there?
Yeah.
A few people have been there. It's great. It's big, isn't it? You know. And I was sat right at the bottom looking up and thought, wow. And I felt like the Lord whispered to me, you're impressed with that, huh? I said, yeah. I mean, like, I'm just, Lord, you know me. I'm just a bloke. So if it's big, fast, or loud, or expensive, I'm impressed. I mean, we are pretty shallow, you know, men. So, you know, if that was the case, and I'm looking at this rock thinking, wow, it's huge. And this is what he whispered to me. He said, if you could see how much of the Rock of Gibraltar is underground, you'd be really impressed. Wow, yes. I'm only looking with these eyes, and I'm seeing the tip of the rock, and it seems huge. He sees much, much deeper, much, much more. And I'm thinking, wow, now I feel really small. And he said to me, he said, see, you think you know me because you've studied some of the words that people have given me in the Bible. Listen, most of me is not even in the book. Wow. I'm sat there feeling this sense of the revelation of this immense, eternal God. It was impossible to know with the faculties that we possess. And I'm just like lost in a sense of awe, of worship, thinking, oh, and I've been cheeky enough to sing songs to you and think that it means something. I mean, it's amazing, huh? And then he spoke this to me, and it helped me so much in terms of walking through brokenness and disability. He said, see, you'll never know me as the Lord your healer unless you walk through and live through a season of sickness or disability. It's words. It's a poster on a wall. It's a promise box. Until you walk through a season of serious illness or disability and where you prove me to be your healer in the circumstances that would deny the reality of who I am. Wow, I'm sat there thinking, this is immense. So if you want to know me deeper, when life circumstances come to you and they're not what you want them to be, you'll always have a choice. And your choice will be to try and reject the circumstances, deny them, to question whether I still love you, to question whether I still know where you live and who you are, that you're my child. Or you have the option of allowing these circumstances to lead you into a deeper revelation of who I am.
Wow. Come on, who would find that a challenge?
He said, you won't know me as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider, unless you're in need, unless you're in want, unless you're in a season of poverty. You will not know me as the Lord your peace, unless you walk through a storm, unless you go through a season of turmoil, unless all the parameters of safety and security that you learn as a human being to lean on and trust in disappear. Then you'll know me as the Lord your peace. But not many of us get in line and say, "Ooh, me. I would like the sickness, the disability, the turmoil, the poverty, so that I can know God." But when they come, can I encourage you, if they come, when they come, allow such circumstances to lead you to a deeper revelation of who God is. That in the midst of them, as you cry to him and say, "Lord, teach me in the middle of this illness, in the heat of this diagnosis, when I've discovered a lump or first heart attack or chest pains or stroke or the word cancer or whatever comes into my life, when that happens, allow the truth of who you are to lead me and guide me to know you in a deeper way, rather than respond in a spiritually immature way and ask, why is this happening to me?" Deep stuff, huh? It's the pathway to knowing God. It's the pathway of revelation. It's a pathway of truth and of discovery of the heart of the Father. And we will all face certain things. Most of us have and will again. But in the midst of it, we are able to know the intimacy with the heart of God. And so we set ourselves to seek after God. And I was helping a church in North Bridgend at the time, a little place called Cefn Cribwr. Anybody know where that is? It's just up on the hill, in Welsh, of course, Golden Ridge, basically. And if you can see the ridge, it means it's going to rain. If you can't see the ridge, it means it's already raining. I mean, it's that kind of place. It really is. And I went to help my friend Mike, who was a senior leader there. And we began seeking God for intimacy. And we had a big upstairs room, about the size of this, actually. It was an upstairs room. And it looked over Porthcawl that way. And it looked over the valleys that way. It was great, a lovely place. And we set it up as the prayer tower. And we spent 7 years in the prayer tower in Cefn Cribwr. We didn't do a lot else in those 7 years because we were meeting there twice, three times a week. Sometimes there were six of us. Sometimes there were 200 to 300 of us. Once a month we were going through the night from evening around till the following morning, just seeking the face of God. Prayer, worship, meditation, fasting, the spiritual disciplines. And we were hammering out the truth of who God was into our experience. Do you know, we saw so many people come to faith. We saw financial miracles. We saw physical healings. It was remarkable. Have I got time to just one healing story? Do you want one healing story? It's a great story. You'll love this story. So there's a lady called Marion, right? She was mid-70s, club woman. Never been to church in her life. Mouth of the South. Great. Salt of the earth. Great. Living in Sarn. And her daughter, Lisa, was about 40, coming up to 40. She had come to church, found her way to church, and had been gloriously saved, converted, found Jesus, was just alive with the grace of God. And so she was getting baptized. And we had a sports floor because we had redone the hall. And so we had a kids' paddling pool. And
So we had the meeting, and we had some great worship, and I had 7 minutes to preach. I mean, that was a miracle, I tell you. And 7 minutes, and it was to talk about people who met Jesus, and I chose the lady who had touched the hem of his garment. And I just shared that for a couple of minutes, and then sat back down and just told people, you can know him for yourself as well. That's my appeal to you today. Don't leave here without coming to know Jesus. And meeting finished. It was a short meeting because there were a lot of visitors in, etc. The place was packed, probably about 300-400 people by then. The church had just grown, and so many come to faith. And Mike, my friend, saw Marion, Lisa's mum, sidle up to the pool and put her hands in the water. So he went across and he said, can I help you, Marion? And she said, well, I heard what that fellow was saying up there, and that Jesus could heal people. And she said, you know, and that lady touched the hem of his garment because she was desperate. She said, well, I'm desperate. So I wanted to put my hands in the water. She showed us, and on both hands, right across all the knuckles, all the skin was split and she was down to the bone. And she said, it's so painful, I can't do anything. She'd spent thousands going to different specialists. The best advice she'd had was put super glue in the cuts and keep your hands closed for a week. And try and give the skin a chance to bond. So she found herself sitting in a meeting like this with someone up front just telling the story that Jesus can heal people. And she thought, I'm going to put my hands in the water. Well, why wouldn't you? Never been to church in your life. She thought, she'd give it a go. So Mike said, well, let me pray for you. So he prayed for her. This is her story. She went home that day and she said by the evening her hands were stinging, burning. And the cuts were beginning to close up. By the following morning, she had completely new skin on both palms. So she starts going around Sarn village, showing her hands to everybody, telling them what happened to her up in that church yesterday. So 2 weeks later, Alpha Course is running, and Marion's there. And there's maybe 4 or 5 church people, and 6 or so people who were on a journey to faith. So Mike is just about to start, and he says, okay, so tonight, she says, hang on, Mike. She says, I want to be a Christian. He said, okay. He said, shall I pray with you at the end? No, no, I want to do it now. She said, enough. She said, look, Jesus has healed me. I understand that he died for me. I want to be a Christian. Now. He said, okay, so shall I pray for you in front of everybody? Yes, in front of everybody. That's fine. All right, he said, well, pray with me. So he starts praying with her, and he said to me, Rob, it was amazing. He said, the power of the Spirit came into the room, and he said, everybody came to faith. Everybody was in tears. And it was just, he said, it was amazing. He said, it was just the presence of God. Of course, we're still in the prayer tower, and this is in the 7-year season, seeking God through the spiritual disciplines of fasting, prayer, meditation, and worship. And it was an amazing time. We had those extended seasons of seeking God. And that would be my encouragement to you. Whatever it takes, have an extended season in your life of seeking God. The rewards are amazing. Outstanding. Carve out some time. I know we all got busy lives and, you know, routines. I get that. I understand that. But, you know, in amongst it all, carve out some time to seek God. It will yield such treasure for you. So having a revelation of God through brokenness is a great thing. You don't have to be broken to seek God. But if you allow it to lead you there, what you find is amazing. There's grace upon grace for those who seek the face of God. Now I could talk all day about these things, as I'm sure you can imagine, but that's probably enough to lead us to a place where we can maybe respond in some worship to Jesus. What do you think, Chris? Is that all right? Anything else you want to say at this point, or do you want me to go straight to guitar?